What sort of things illumine your life? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. What sort of things illumine your life? Well, as I listen to Ellen, she tells me of all the daily activities that go on in her life and how they brighten and shine in her day and make her feel just wonderful. And every single thing she does makes her feel bright and cheery. And then I talk to Ingeborg, and I say to Ingeborg, as she was wanting to make a comment, and she didn't make a comment, I said, Ingeborg, you remember what the comment was? And she says, yes. I said, well, you're going to tell us? She says, no. She says, I'm not going to tell you. And I said, why is that? She says, well, you ignored me. You know? And I said, well, how can anyone be ignored who is not ignorable? And when you like yourself, no one can ignore you, because the only person that matters about liking you is yourself. So I have been in a lot of conversations with a lot of people, and you might call them big mouths, you know, and they just run off and run off and run off. And then they say, well, Herb, what's your opinion on this now? And Herb, how do you think about this now? Herb, do you think this is a good idea? Herb, do you think? And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you haven't the slightest interest in what I'm thinking. And so I just sit back and listen to them tell me what they think and what they think I think. And I think to myself, okay, good. And so when they get finished, then I say, you certainly are bright. You certainly are on top of everything. You're really a wit, you know. And they say, oops, I forgot. I asked you questions and I didn't let you answer them. And I say, well, you did a good job of it. You did a good job of answering the questions. And I must say, you interpreted what I was going to say quite nicely. And I'm very happy to see how well you did. And that's rather good. And you're a remarkable person. Well, I will see you. I'm on my way. And I'm on my way. Now, I don't get angry at them for not including me in their conversation, except they included me by word, but not by fact. They didn't give me a chance to say anything. So, but hey, if I ever allow anybody else in my world to push my button and make me unhappy, I'm the only one who's being unhappy. And no way, no way. Many things happen. I made a phone call a couple of days ago, or quite a few days ago, and in the phone call, it was rather disconcerting. The people I talked to made me feel like I wasn't worthy of talking to. And I said, oh, okay, yeah, no problem. And then I decided, after I hung up, I decided, hey, I don't accept that. They were going through a little heavy-duty something themselves right then. So when I see them in a few days, they're going to be totally different, and everything is going to be happy and mellow. Well, when I saw them in a couple of days, everything was happy and mellow. Everything was relaxed. Everything was cool. In fact, everything was very, very good. But if they hadn't forewarned me about their attitude that they were working with, I couldn't have said, hey, you're fantastic, everything's in order, you know. But if I go around always saying what?
All is in divine order.
All is in divine order, then what happens?
It's so.
All is in divine order. You see, if I go around saying all is in divine order, all is in divine order, I don't need to know what I'm putting into divine order, because I don't need to know what needs to be straightened out. I don't really care. But I say, all is in divine order, and as I do that, everything falls into place. And no matter what I'm doing, it all falls into place, and it's wonderful too. So I think the more we can train ourselves to do that, the happier we'll be. Now, a lot of our students and people around the world get involved in hypnotism, and they think that hypnotism is such a wonderful thing. Well, hypnotism is a very wonderful thing. Hypnotism is self-affirmation. And it's a perfectly fine thing to do. But the name hypnotism, in most people's minds, brings up somebody else doing it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I object to. I don't object to you having positive affirmations about yourself and thinking beautiful things about yourself, but I do not want me to get wrapped up in the idea that somebody else can do it for me. I'm going to go into this doctor and he's going to cure me. Well, he's maybe going to give me some advice that's going to get me on the right road, but he can't cure me, because if he can cure me, I can cure myself. And I can say I'm whole and perfect. And then be it. But if I feel that my life's kind of hairy and it's out of order, and I go to the doctor and I say, hey, my life's out of order and I got this problem, the doctor will say, you take some relaxation pills and you take this particular pill here, and yes. Mark and I were talking, and he was telling me how he went to Milwaukee and he showed this retired dean of the School of Biological Sciences at Marquette University how to fly his ultralight airplane that he had just purchased, that he built himself. And Mark did it in a snowstorm. 6 inches of snow, sheets of ice on the airport, didn't bother. Mark and the airplane are one. The airplane does whatever Mark wants it to do, even if there's nothing there to do it. And Mark he's born with the seat of his pants, you know, in the cockpit. And he's just great. Well, this guy took him home for dinner, apparently. And at dinner, they talked. And Mark asked a few leading questions. And the guy said that... he said that in the medical profession, they do a lot of research, and for the medical profession, for the chemical profession, you know, for the pills. And what they have found out, that they take six people with this here and six people without, both six people have exactly the same symptoms, and they give a placebo to one and a real medicine to the other, and neither knows who's getting the real medicine. And they get just about as good a results with the placebo as they do with the medicine.
Sure.
And his estimation is that the placebo, we really don't need, because as he said, most of these things take place in the mind. Most of these things are in our thought. And most of these things, now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just believe that and 100% work on that and say, I am in control of my mind, I'm in control of my thought, I'm in control of my attitude. And then with our hypnotism, if such be that we want it, then we do it. Now, I'm violently opposed to mysticism, and not mysticism, but magic, and I'm violently opposed to
spiritualism
type of things, for one reason only, and that is they teach just what we teach, but they try to make it sound so far out, so esoteric, so magical, you know.
Complex,
yes. And but that's fine. Now the Hindus, they make it complex too. You got to fold your legs, and you got to do this here, the 12 innerfold path and 12 outerfold path, and all these neat things that they do. And hey, that's just a lot of complexity. And the simpler it is, the easier it is to do it. But that's not really true, because the simpler it is, you think it isn't going to work. You want the real pill, because a placebo certainly cannot work. And what is a placebo usually? As they say, a sugar pill. It's some acceptable pill. Well, in his research and in his studies and in work that is currently going on, they have found that when they get people to really take charge of their thoughts, they can accomplish anything. They can accomplish anything. That, well, it's just like our experience that we had with Irene, who was dying of cancer, and I said, "Irene, you're whole and perfect." She said, "No, I'm not." I said, "Why not?" She said, "The doctor said so." I said, "Why did the doctor say so?" "Because you give him the symptoms." "Now, you want to give a doctor a different set of symptoms, that you're whole and perfect?" "Yes." "Then you can do it." And the doctor will say, "Good for you." The doctors are always happy when their patients live. And so she decided to do that, had the doctor tell her patients, that is, tell her family, that it was a misdiagnosis. You know, I mean, that's a generous doctor. And so the family all said, "Wonderful, wonderful." And they all responded to it, changed the whole attitude, and where she was all crunched up into a nothingness in her bed, and in a few weeks she was eating well, in a few months she was, you know, stretching out, walking, and in 2 years she was back on the tennis court as good as ever. And she was in her late 70s. Now, why wait? And why? Maybe she wants to go. Maybe she didn't. Mm-mm. But the point is, it's all done mentally. And people say, "Well, why don't you do things for yourself mentally too? Why don't you do this?" Well, I do. I do a lot. But you don't believe somebody who is not part of your team.
Yeah.
And so I play on your team. You know.
Yeah, I can play on your team.
You know how Jesus did? They said, "Jesus, you can do it, but we can't." Well, you don't want to have a teacher who can do it, but you can't. You want a teacher who teaches you in such a way that you can.
Yeah.
And Jesus taught that way, but people didn't listen. So, this is what we got going. Are you happy with your life?
Yes.
You ready for the illusion of absolute wholeness and perfection? Then go for it. That's what it's all about.
Thank you.
I love you eternally.
Thank you.